Rolling.
We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order at 8:47 on the clock for December 29th, 2021, and we'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left, attended by observation. Jergens, Haxby, Schuler, Teeman, Dorn, Byers, and Lidle. Up first, the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held December 15th, 2021. Approve all claims through December 29th, 2021 in the amount of $1,825,135.95. Accept claim number 211-20229 to BF Swan Care Inc. in the amount of $835 and claim number 211-20295 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $3,196.32 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve reappointing Jeff Argo as Planning and Zoning Committee member for a 4-year term beginning on July. Oh, so four-year term beginning in July 2021. And that is our consent agenda for today.
I would move to accept the consent agenda to approve it.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 211-20229. To Beatrice Lawn Care Inc. in the amount of $835 and claim number 211-20295 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $3,196.32. This brings the total amount of claims approved through December 29th, 2021 to $1,829,167.27. These are two companies that I have ownership in.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Jergens. Second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor with Teeman abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, we do have some public, though. Welcome. We'll move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
Davey had a doctor's appointment, so he couldn't be here, but everything is going well over the sheriff's department. Any repairs we've had to make and the things we've done here in the courthouse to make it accessible for people for the trials, and Dave has been very good about making sure everything's available. So, but we're in real good shape, and he's taking care of things, but he unfortunately had a doctor's appointment, so couldn't be here.
Some minimal wind. Will you come up to the microphone, Mark? A little bit of minimal wind damage. Nerman's been down to look at that. Some roof repairs. They're working through that as well.
The Mark Kunke, Highway Superintendent. The last three sections of tower were picked up from the Wymore Yard yesterday from the gentleman that purchased them from Purple Wave.
Great.
So,
thank you.
Can't sell it again.
Our winter lights caught all sorts of wonderful comments.
Very, very pretty, always.
Yes. Very beautiful.
Equalization.
Nothing.
Finance and insurance.
Large ticket items. City of Wymore, quarterly EMS service, $10,000. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $48,157.81. Rock On Incorporated, hauling material, $19,520.12. And the big one, Pavers Incorporated. This money came out of inheritance fund. Payment number 4, $1,362,985.28. That makes the total for the overlay project comes to $2,269,912.49.
And that was a good deal, keeping the asphalt prices down by extending that one contract, too.
And I think we got a mile for free, essentially.
And we got a lot of, I mean...
We got a lot of correction in some bad roads.
That's what I wanted to say.
But it lowered the safe speed on that road, too, where we took the bank out of it.
It's a win-win in my book.
It's a win-win.
Not for Eric.
Human resources. We didn't really have any human resources this week. Mark, are you going to do another meeting anytime soon with your guys you want me to swing down for?
Probably in the first of the year, yes.
Give me a holler and we'll do that.
Yes.
Law enforcement, emergency management. Nothing for the sheriff.
Mine will be covered up at the moratorium.
Wow, we're making time today. Road and bridge.
Finished shouldering on the Holmesville Blacktop and finished shouldering, I do believe, on Dorsey Street, and we're moved over to Pickerel West.
North 19th First Street, yeah.
Say it again.
North 19th First Right. Street, yeah.
So the shouldering's done on those roads. Van Kirk started a box culvert on East 12 Lincoln by Hidden Acres on 12-8 of 21, had bridge removed and box culvert excavated, box floor framed, and poured box floor on 12-23-21. Discussion on our 2015 John Deere excavator. That.
Any progress on that excavator? We'll talk soon.
Getting all my ducks in a row.
Sounds good. Thank you much. We have a time to vent at 9:15. We'll skip over that. Up next, approve or disapprove the following extension board members. Doris Martin for her second term. Second term, first year, Suzanne Munn. Second term, first year, Janice Dunce. First term, third year, Joanne Neiman. First term, second year, Tom Person. First term, second year, Jody Starr. First term, second year. And 4-H Council representative. There will be new representation annually. We must not have a name for that. We need an extension board, or we're supposed to have an extension board. And that has to be approved by the county. They have put one together, and they've been operating. But we have never actually approved these members.
And I think, Nicole, if I remember correctly, those are four-year terms.
Four-year terms each, so.
That was my question. How long are those terms? As I look at the years they're serving.
Well, over the years, we had kind of lost the extension board, evidently, and Nicole got that back up and going, so there is a board out there now, I think since for 2 or 3 years now.
Oh, excuse me. They serve a three-year term.
Three-year term. Mm-hmm.
Those are all good people. Very responsible and will do a good job.
To serve a second term.
Well, evidently it's been more than 3 years already because there's people in their second terms there.
They're mostly all women, though. There should be a few more men on there.
It looks like a three-year, because this is third year.
There's one man.
There's some second terms first year, so I guess this could be...
Their fourth year.
Yeah, fourth year, which would be about right for Nicole now also, I bet. I guess I would ask for a motion to approve or disapprove the names read for the extension board.
I would move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Any additional discussion on this board?
How often do they meet?
So in
Typically semi-annually, I believe, but I know that because of COVID restrictions, they had not met like many boards, you know, the last 2 years. So that might be little bit of lapse in the years of serving too. So
Have they been meeting quarterly this year? Yeah, they have been more active now.
Yes.
So. Okay, good.
Any other questions, discussion? If not, please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. That's more or less a housekeeping item, just to be official on it. Approve or disapprove resolution placing a moratorium on commercial solar permits until PNZ has the opportunity to review and update the county regulations. Lisa, do you want to say anything on this? We kind of put you into this discussion on Monday. There was a moratorium on wind. This would be resolution 21-23. The wind moratorium lifted once the towers, or once the regulations were updated, but it both end the end of this year, so on the 31st, so Friday. When we were talking about this, Lisa had said that there may be some want from the planning and zoning to put a moratorium on this just so that it gives you time to review the regs and update them and go through the process so that that can come to us and we can actually have some solar regs in place.
That is correct. I guess as we move forward, we asked for you guys to consider what you did and consented just to allow accessory use of solar panels, especially as people are, you know, planning their house plans and things like that, that they can incorporate accessory use. So you kept that out of this moratorium. Keep in mind that we do need to appoint, you know, a new person to the Planning and Zoning Commission. I don't know how close you are on that.
Hopefully the 12th we'll have a name to vote on.
And so there's a you know, process in learning about zoning and so forth. But if there was a timeline, I think our goal would be at least, you know, it would be at 6 months to be able to move to public hearing. But a lot of, again, is based upon public input, you know, how the public responds to the existing regulations or the suggestions, and then giving the commission enough time to go back and review. But yeah, that's kind of where we're at. So keep in mind that we have to go to a hearing, and then we come to you with a recommendation, and then it's yours to do the same things.
Lisa, what's the real concerns with this solar? Because you don't have the height that you have with the wind towers. What's the real concerns? I mean, I've seen some of the setbacks, from talking with some of the PNZ members, what I've heard is that some of the setbacks are as little as 300 feet from property line. What's the real concern, and why is it necessary to keep a moratorium on the books?
So setbacks are probably number one concern, and the property valuation, you know, to the adjoining landowner, should there be a single-family dwelling or, again, subdivisions for, you know, view shed, realizing that, you know, setting the tone, you know, in view shed and just the demographics of living out in the country could be affected by a commercial operation. So that's setbacks are probably number one concern. So
have you followed this in Lancaster?
Yes. So
was there the pushback on the solar?
Yes, there was. I mean, you know, it took a little bit of time, you know, 3 or 4 attempts before through review process before they approved, you know, a project. But in all respect to both sides, you know, we need to have some time to, you know, evaluate what other counties are doing too. Some counties keep it so simple. I mean, right now, the first review was 150 foot should be ample enough. But then yet as they commission starts to review, you know, the concerns from, you know, property owners and their valuation, you know, you're talking some of these operations could be up to, you know, a half a section, you know, in some sites. So that's a commercial use. So
we're looking at 300 feet.
Well,
you said 300 feet.
This is all early discussion. So nothing has been set in contact. Back in 19 or 20 when we finished our review, we were between discussions of 150 to 300 feet as a setback. from a property line. So the question will be, again, if that's enough. So
that's my question. Is it enough? That's not very much.
Eddie?
I do not, you know, that's, again, review.
Is there a, somehow you can have them put in a tree line?
Yes.
To block the view?
Yes, that was written. That is one of the conditions that, and typically a commercial operation will do that, you know, a buffer zone of some sort, you know, put in. Keeping in mind all of any hearing that we have, any special use hearing, as you and our board move forward, you have the opportunity to set some conditions upon that permit before it's approved. So if there are concerns from a certain group of landowners, you can, you know, put a condition on that contingent upon approval. So
Southern Gates would, say, a solar farm that went in, or do you call them solar farms? Solar
commercial
project?
Yeah, commercial solar.
Commercial solar.
Yep.
Would that be able to tie on the same lines as, say, a wind farm that was potentially looking? I mean, is that a feasible?
As I understand the grid system, you know, it has to be, infrastructure has to be in place before, you know, you can actually add to that same grid system. A megawatt is a megawatt. So if that grid system can handle it, dependent upon what kind of alternative energy is being produced, you know, that can be, it can be maxed out regardless of what, you know, type, if it's solar or wind. So
we have like a mile setback on our wind towers, don't we?
From property line, yes.
Yeah, so. And then if we talk cutting this down to 300 feet, that seems ridiculous to me, but you'll come back with recommendations, I'm sure.
So obviously, you know, as you move forward, these are all concerns, you know, that you'll hear from, you know, your people that you represent in your areas. So while it doesn't have the height distance, it still all has, you know, concerns.
Anyone else concerned about that and the difference?
No.
Danny,
there's no wind. There's no noise.
I think you're going to see both sides, from people that love solar energy to people that think the reflection's going to make them burst into flame. There's going to be both far sides, you know. So it's just there's a difference of opinion on some of these things.
Amazing we'd ever have a difference of opinion.
But I think looking at what other counties have done, thank goodness Lancaster's gone through this.
Sure.
We have some things to base, you know, we have a starting point, I guess. So hopefully this will be a fairly smooth
process. We need to make the information available to the people in our county so that they know and we can visit with them. I haven't had any contacts.
Mr. Schuler?
Well, I'd like to see the county divided for zoning for wind and solar. So is it more efficient to do the solar and consider dividing rather than completing the solar and then having to go back? Is that something we need to discuss? Is the division of the, because of the south half of the county or the south third or whatever?
Maybe as you guys are discussing things at the P&Z, you could talk about that in conjunction. Some of these problems may work themselves out if landowners are looking for another revenue source through some type of energy production. Depending on how these setbacks turn out, it may kind of work that problem out on its own. Because the only real divisional talks we've had have been on wind, because there's more, it's more favorable in the south and less favorable in the north. If there's another option where solar may not be so restrictive on zoning, it may be one of those things where multiple people can have a decent sized solar farm there.
Population is certainly less in the south half, and I guess I'd like to see, at least keep in mind, that there could be a difference. We could split this, and you keep in mind, well, the north half has a different demographic than the south half, so that if we do make a change in it or decide to, that you have some of this noted or at least kept track of how, what you might do that would be different.
As long as you're making it to a non-participant, you're accommodating the different demographics.
It does. That was a huge thing, the participant, non-participant, and I'm sure it'll be the same thing or there may be a piece of this regulation that's participating, non-participating. One thing with splitting the county we did talk about, which we hadn't really gone over, but I think Lisa is the one that really talked to me about it. We're limiting people's property use either to be able to do something or not to be able to do something. When we did start splitting the county, then we start giving to one group and taking from another group. One side might see it as we're giving them the opportunity to build wind turbines, just using that as an example. The other group may say we're taking away their opportunity to use their view shed. So it's trickier than it sounds splitting it. Splitting it sounds really good at first.
Well, then we need to be mindful of the entire county in making the decisions and regulations then, even if they're not here to represent themselves.
I assure you, Don, that's what the commission does. You know, they look at the entire county because you demographically have appointed, you know, people to serve on that commission that, you know, represent their communities. So it is a fine line with deciding what's best for one, because we know as one industry moves forward, we're talking about, you know, and referencing wind, what happens to the next thing? You know, would it be livestock production more favorable in one part of the county than the other? So it does open up a lot of conversations. So,
and I'm sorry, I let this go a little off yep. subject. Right now, the motion today would be to extend the moratorium on commercial solar, I believe it was written for 6 months. Is that right?
6 months. Well, till the end of
June.
June 30th. So 6 months. June 30th.
So
move to approve the resolution.
This would be resolution 21-23. This would be a moratorium on commercial solar until June 30th, 2022, or until PNZ has the opportunity to review this and get it to us, or the county board has. I mean, if we get regulations done, there'd be no reason.
What's the number on that resolution?
21-23.
21-23.
We have a motion by Haxby.
Second.
And a second by Dorn. Any further discussion on moratorium?
Sure.
Mr. Lytle?
I still don't see any reason to put a moratorium on this. If there's any real concerns, I think PNZ could look at it. We could adopt something as far as a setback if there's a real concern. Scientifically, you know, maybe there's some research that's out there that can say that there's issues with these. But as far as commercial solar farm coming into the county, I just don't see this as being a big concern. Putting a 6 month moratorium, I don't see the reason to have it on the books.
But right now, they don't have no regs on the solar.
They've got to go through the special use permit to get a permit for it.
That's my question for you, Lisa. If someone would apply for a solar, a commercial solar permit now, it'd be a special use permit, would you, in approving that, would PNZ be able to set whatever specifications they want for that project, special use specifications?
So in review with the county attorney, as I understand, there's no regulations. So basically, you know, setbacks would be standard. Setbacks would be 15 foot from, you know, a property line and 75 foot from road center, because we don't have specific, you know, guidelines. However, I would go and review that with the commission and ask, you know, that we host a special use hearing, because it doesn't specify that it requires a special use permit process, but it would take some review process, and then hopefully things would move forward.
And again, the commission can set make whatever recommendations they deem appropriate to this body that would be in charge of approving it. The regulations just give you a standard that you can judge the application, that Lisa can go through and walk through with the applicant saying, okay, you're close, but you don't quite have it yet. Or we need to consider a buffer zone or whatever it may be. But again, those kind of things can be dealt with.
And then it would have
to come. It's not a standard deal.
It would have to come to the board, then, and we would also have the ability to put any break. Since there's no permit process, we could put any stipulation in place that we would.
Any reasonable stipulation.
Any reasonable. Well, that's a tricky word.
Hard. I understand, but, you know, you were just talking like you got to be fair to both sides.
Right.
If the signs out there say what we say, that Gates County is welcome to development.
They say ag friendly. Any other discussion on this item? You have 3 minutes before time to vent.
I think it's just cleaner to make sure we have regulations in place before a permit comes forward.
If nothing else on this, we have a motion by Haxby, second by Dorn. Please vote. Split vote. 4-2-3. Motion carries. Juergens, Haxby, Dorn, Byers voting yay. Schuler, Thiemann, Lytle voting nay. And the controversy continues on special uses.
Discussion.
That's right, discussion, not controversy. So I look forward to the discussion as these regs come forward again. But Resolution 2123 passes. There will be a commercial solar moratorium currently through the end of June 2022. I'm sure P&Z will be done long before, probably before the end of February with their hearings and vote, and that'll get stuff to us by March.
I am assured that will not happen. So
it's a good way to.
I'll make the public record notice anyway on that timeline. So, yeah.
All right. Well, we won't expect to have it that quickly then.
Eric. I'd like to see the schedule for the planning and zoning of the meetings be put on the website calendar.
Okay, we can.
Do you know where it is?
We certainly can do that. It states underneath the clause that we meet every Tuesday of the month unless no need. So that's.
Well, couldn't that be put on the calendar? I mean, I think people, that's what they look for, is the look at the calendar for the board meeting or anything else.
Ask the clerk to do so because I don't have access to
okay.
that. So.
In the past, you haven't always had. It depended on if you had a meeting. So if we put it on there, people are anticipating a meeting every one of those times.
We don't always meet. It's based upon agenda items.
Aren't the meetings, don't you have to put in the meetings in the papers?
Yeah.
Right, we do.
So they're notified?
3 weeks.
And we do have a timed event at 9:15,
okay.
Saved
by
Thank the
you.
Bill.
Thank you.
That is a good idea. Just, it's out there in the public. I would ask for a motion to close bids at 9:15 for two tandem axle dump trucks for the highway department.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Juergens to close accepting bids. Are there any bids that have not been turned in? If not, please vote. 7 favor, the motion carries. Highway superintendents and people like usually have lots of bids for stuff like this.
FD.
How many do you have there?
Looks like one.
Oh, just one. I hope the weight of the package doesn't reflect the prices.
This bid is from RDO Truck Center out of Lincoln. Excuse me, Omaha. Assuming we can bypass that. Get down to the red flag here.
Year of the unit 23-24. Dump body type Bebo, snow plow hitch Hinkey, maker of spreader Swenson, pusher axle Hendrickson, make of snow plow Hinkey. Bid price. Per unit is $219,807.45. Cannot give firm date of delivery. Cannot give firm date. Hoping for the end of 2022. Extended warranty options and pricing. Was there a pup trailer in the... No, not on this one. Okay.
Is there a difference in price if we take one versus two?
No, it's the same price either way. And there are
Phil, will you come up and give your name for the record?
Hey, Phil. Yes. Why don't you... I'm sure I skipped half the stuff everybody wants to know.
No problem. I'm Phil Schneider with RDO Truck Center. I did provide two separate bids. One's from LCL Trucking Equipment. The other one's from Aspen Trucking Equipment. The LCL Trucking Equipment is $204,497.45. And that's per unit. Price is good on one or two units. And then the Aspen equipment, that one was $219,807.45. So you'd have the choice between the two separate body builders.
Phil, what's the main difference in that, the bodies?
The bodies is the only difference. The truck's the same either way.
It's the Bebo, or what's the other option?
Both are Bebo bodies. Let's see. They're both using Hinkey snow plows and hitches. And then LCL is using a Henderson spreader, and Aspen's using a Swenson. And then there'll be many differences on hydraulics and different items. I have written in here to make sure to go over page 15 of my truck proposal. Basically, you know, stating on my end, truck prices are volatile. That price is good on the truck itself, pending it gets built next year and pending no surcharges arise. Probably the biggest risk would be is if it weren't built this next coming year. We have slots for it as of today, but everybody's being very vague right now.
These are spec'd out with transmission-mounted PTOs and hydraulic pumps, not front mount?
Actually, these have our rear engine PTO installed on them versus a transmission mount. did provide options. I've got it. The price includes a 12-speed M-drive automatic. I gave options for 18-speed manual and a 13-speed automatic as well.
Did you say this is priced automatic truck?
Yes, this is.
And the size of the bed is what?
It's a 17-foot bed.
17-foot.
Yes, regardless of who you choose, it'd be an exact copy of the box that you guys have on your last Mac. And then I also have in there, we've seen with different bodybuilders, we've seen some price changes over the past year. I think everybody's getting a handle on it, but I would advise that you talk to both bodybuilders and make your best choice based on that. We do a lot of business with both, but it is tough times right now as far as giving guaranteed bids. Truck-wise, it's going to be a very similar truck to your last one, except possibly the automatic.
Both trucks have the same engine?
Yes. Yes, this is an updated version of your last truck's engine. You'll see a improved after-treatment system, improved fuel system, but most of the nuts and bolts of it are very similar. There's been a couple emission changes since then, but mostly all good. Nothing major like we've seen over the years.
Sounds like the difference between the two companies' trucks are the spreaders?
Yes.
That's it?
Yep. We're providing the exact same chassis, depending on your choice of transmission, either way. And then it would be up to you guys on which body company to use. I've included the phone numbers to both body companies. You'd be more than welcome to reach out. Both have been in the business forever. So one obviously has a significant price difference. So
are both of them have like the same timeline for getting trucks out?
The timeline will probably be the slowest one getting
the weak link.
Yes. We have a few slots left for next year, but we're running low, and most likely the truck itself won't show up till fourth quarter. And then hopefully the body company would have the components on hand and be able to install them right away. As far as timing, who can put it together the quickest, both of them are capable, depending on their workload, of getting a truck together in, you know, probably a month if things go well. Over the years, we've seen some significant delays, but they should have plenty of time to get their product either way. Probably outside of price, the biggest thing would be, you know, to visit with them and make sure they can give you 100% guaranteed price. I don't know if anybody can put that in writing right now. One company's a lot larger than the other. You know, that could give them some advantages, but
I don't want to accept any bid that we don't know what the number is.
It is tough to. I cannot give. The truck bid is guaranteed so long as it gets built next year.
Phil, would it be correct in saying if we would accept a bid or tell you, yes, move forward with these, if the prices change and we wouldn't take them, you'd be happy to say, okay, we'll keep the trucks, you don't have to take them? I mean, that's a true statement, right?
Yeah, so in the event that, especially a surcharge, or I should have a actual build date within the next month or so. In the event that the price would change on the truck, yes, a person would be able to cancel. We would have to visit with the body builders. You know, if they have the equipment sitting on the ground, they could have some trouble, you know, setting on that equipment. So
would you probably build this truck regardless, though, and then just sell it somewhere else?
We would have to. It is a very tough time to give guaranteed pricing and timing.
It's a tough time, but are you willing to do that? Because we as a board, when we accept a bid, we need to know what the details are.
Yep.
We can't just accept it and, oh, you'll add on here, or you'll add on there, and...
No, I do understand the concern. The best I can do right now would be to offer the chance to cancel in the event that I can't provide the same pricing. And again, on the truck itself, I would know this within probably the next 1 to 2 months, once the truck's got a firm build date. Body company, over the past year, even on municipality bids, we have had body companies go up on us. And I wanted to have that out front. Just
if we have a build date on the truck, then we have a set price, correct?
On the truck itself, yes.
And then if we had that, we should be able to make a purchase on the body and everything and get a set price on that, even if, because we can't pay for things until we have them.
Yep.
But if they ordered the body and they had it sitting there waiting, we should be able to pay for that also if we would have to lock in prices.
That I have had some body companies do that, where you pay for the body, at least the components, you know, the box, the plow, major components when it gets there. I know one of the vendors prefers to do it that way. I have had discussions with them, but
we have it though. I guess we can't do that until we physically have it.
Eric?
Durkins.
The major component on these add-ons, shall we say, is the steel, okay? From what I've seen in the last month and a half, that steel has peaked out, and it's going this way. Not where it came from, but it's going this way. Because the cure to high prices is high prices.
Yep.
So people are not going to be buying those main ingredients, and so the supply is going to back up, and that price will come back down again. So I don't foresee the box, that's the main ingredient we're looking at here on the add-ons, you know, going up much. My opinion.
In the past, Bebo has been pretty decent about, you know, once it's ordered, holding price. But, you know, over the past year, we've seen several instances where equipment comes in higher than, you know, signed order and everything. We
appreciate you being up front with us on that. Mr. Byers, in this environment, it'd be different if we had four truck companies, too, saying, hey, we can do this at this time, at this price. We've got one right now.
I had a question. I don't know how this works, but this will obviously, we'd be accepting a bid if we did this in a different fiscal year than we would receive it. So how does that work?
That's another issue that we've been working through. If we would accept everything as is, we would basically float that money to next year's budget. We would have to, we wouldn't spend it. It would actually, so it would count against us as far as figuring budget.
Budget for it.
Mr. Jurgens.
The thing I want to add is a Bebo box is the best box made. It's made in Canada. But by far, the box that he bid us here is the best box made.
Is there a difference in the spreaders? Because there's a big
I
price
can't
difference.
Answer on that one. I don't know. Both are reputable brands that I know of.
They're both going to break down.
Yeah. Only when you use them.
Yeah. Only if it snows.
Well, we have several options. We can put in Mr. Lytle.
And I appreciate you being up front with the information, but I question, you know, he was willing to put a bid together, which isn't really a bid. If the other companies, Freightliner, International, anybody else, had knew that they could put a bid in that wasn't really a bid, that's adjustable later, they could put in bids also.
Mark talked to the other companies, didn't you? A couple of the other truck manufacturers?
Yes, I didn't talk to anybody else.
You did not talk to them?
There was bid forms sent out to them.
And you let them know that they could adjust their bid price later if they needed to?
We never discussed any of that.
Yeah.
It's possible. I think everybody knows that because each of them is in the same ballpark as far as delivering also. But I totally but
generally we have more than one line of trucks bidding on these on this equipment. And I guess my concern is that while Phil was willing to put a bid forward, it's not truly a bid because it's not he's giving you the equipment, he's not giving you a price. It might be a number on the paper, but he's not willing to stick to it. And Phil, I guess I struggle with, okay, if you're putting the bid out, once we accept that you're a bid and we're ready to move forward, how is it that you go to the company and say, okay, this truck is going to be bought. That equipment, why is that not able to be a price put in? Because at that point, they should be able to go, if they have to, go on the futures and hedge their dang steel or
they
whatever.
They should be able to, I'll say on the private side, trying to buy trucks, we're dealing with the same thing where we get a price and we think it's going to be this, but we don't know for sure yet because they can't tell us for sure. Even on pickups, I tried to trade a pickup several months ago, and they said, we think this is the price, but we can't guarantee it to you. And I said, so if I make you a deal with you today, you can't guarantee? And they said, well, it's going to be close. And it's like, well, I ended up not doing it.
It's not even a bid.
It made me nervous. It's like, what do you mean it's going to be close?
In today's environment, I understand what he's saying here. I mean, we're looking at a year down the road, before that product is coming in, possibly.
One safety factor.
And, the trucks he can lock in, but the other things, I understand. Somebody's not going to produce something and let it set for a year and say, here's your unit. They're going to want their money out of it.
And I understand that, Terry. I get that. But he's saying even with the truck, he can't lock that price in.
If he gets a confirmed order, then he said he could.
A couple months down the road.
Probably. Right.
Once I get a build date, the truck, as long as it gets built this next year, the price is good. And that, I still put in there pending no surcharges. I don't foresee that happening. But after the past year, I mean, I don't want to be in a position in 6 months that the price actually does change and without telling you up front. Truck-wise, I feel like my price is going to be good on the truck itself. We're happy running the body and through us as a package, but we have no control over what the body company does. And we've had a couple instances where that didn't go very well in our favor over the past year.
Mr. Jurgens?
I just want to make one more comment. The trucks or vehicles that these are replacing have been well used, Mark, would you say? If we do nothing and set on this, we're going to be spending a whole lot more money on repairs and everything else on the used vehicles that we are replacing.
The other safety factor is if there is a change in the price, we can walk away from these.
That's what I don't like about this is that because they kind of have you over the barrel because just like Terry said, it's something that you need. So if the price comes back $20,000, $50,000 more, which it most likely is not something like that. But if it does, what's your choice? You going to walk away from it and run the old equipment and have to run it into the ground?
Could you rebid at that time and see what comes back?
You could, but then you're also looking another year out for equipment, right?
You don't know. I mean, maybe they'll get caught up.
Mr. Schuler.
And just at that time, we could look at that option.
Thank you. He did give us an option to cancel, or that's what you talked about.
Yes.
And we're still in the same predicament. That's the other thing, and this is unlikely that it would happen, but what if prices go down enough that it affects, do we get a lower price than what the bid is?
That's Very good point. I would doubt that.
I doubt it too.
I would doubt it also.
I think the biggest risk right now is in the body. Like I said, as long as the truck gets built next year, I don't foresee any issues.
Do you have confirmable prices on those? I mean, you wouldn't raise the price unless you can show an actual surcharge or...
Right.
I mean, you would have confirmation. Gary's point is really valid. You know, if somebody knew they had us over a barrel, they can come in and say, well, it's going to be this much more money because those trucks are more valuable to you to sell to someone else. There'd have to be something that would confirm a price, actual price.
Yeah, and in this bid, there is nothing.
If you consider the competitive bidding law in Nebraska, the whole idea is the bidders come in and are hungry, and so they're ratcheting down their bids as much. And I don't take anything.
Yep.
This goes after you. At least you threw a bid up here. You don't have a bid, as Gary pointed out. This ain't no bid.
No.
It depends on what the steel's going to happen. And I understand what Mr. Juergens is saying. He's absolutely right. But they're asking you to bear the risk of what's going to happen in the next year. You got nothing with this thing other than the promise. And I'm saying I'm sure he's well worth everything as far as his word and everything. But now that his numbers are out there, so if you rebid it, guess what? How fair is that to the other guys that are sitting back home right now going, what are we going to do? And they didn't think about, well, we're in good faith, we're going to come up here and say, well, we'll work with you as much as you can. I wonder, what's the state doing? They're the big boys on the hill. And we usually jump after them, you know, when they say Joe's truck company is a good place to buy trucks. And if you buy them from them, you don't have to bid it. Have we looked at anything like that? I'm totally ignorant on this stuff. I'm just saying. Mr. Juergens answered the question, can we get through this challenge when we have a shortage of things? And I know Gus has had shortages of squad cars. What did we do? We waited. And guess what? It turned around. Now he's got a whole new fleet of everything, and they all... I'm just giving you a bad time.
He's got
time.
A whole bunch of extras he doesn't even use now.
He's got plenty parked out here for taxi service. Anyhow, I'm very, you know, I'm trying to find a bid here that you can say, yeah, we'll take that. And I think the only way you can do that is say, and I'll just pick the one that's the lowest one, and I don't know if it's the best one or not. We'll take that one. And we'll sign a contract for $214,000. And by God, you're not going to get it until next December. And that's fine. You understand the delivery date unless you put that in your specs. You can't dictate that. And that goes back to what you're saying. They're not out there.
Well, I'll just ask Phil that if we do something pending a hard number, you've got these bids in. The lowest bid I heard, and I mean we'd have to review them, but say at 204, that 204, 407, whatever that one included. I'm just using that as an example. If we gave you 2 weeks the reason I say that is we have a meeting in 2 weeks again where we could approve it. Could you go back to RDO and say they'll approve these bids pending a guaranteed price on that? To where it's an actual hard price where you can say, yes, it's going to be this number. And just like Roger said, that's a perfect example. No matter what we do, it's always a hard price, and
yep. I can reach out. My biggest question mark is going to be the bodybuilders. I can reach out to both of them and see if they will put on paper that the price under no circumstances will change.
Because my opinion on that would be, we're not buying a truck chassis.
But then we're talking.
We're buying a unit.
Right.
And so I would rather that be a relationship between you and the bodybuilders. I know that puts the risk back on you instead of on the county, but Mark doesn't have that relationship. RDO has that relationship with the upfitters.
That's where the risk needs to be. as they're giving us a bid and giving us a quote, they are giving it to us, and they're guaranteeing what it is.
But I would try to float that like Phil is, if I'm the contractor bidding something. I mean, I'm not faulting you for that at all. It's just...
It's not a bid.
We would like the risk...
Remember, Mr. Byers, you have one bid here. There's a reason for it. There's nobody else had the guts to come up here.
Phil, what have you done? Have other counties bid this year where you're having issues?
There hasn't been a lot, but I'm going through an issue with actually City Beatrice right now where it's up, you know, $8,000 to $10,000, and we're still in the process of trying to sort that out, but it's pretty fresh in my mind. So,
did they take delivery of the truck already?
No.
Is that one that we could purchase?
It's a single axle. Oh.
Mr. Dorn,
do you need word today that we're going to do it to get a spot for a truck next year?
No. So what MAC has done, they have held, they allotted all the MAC dealers X amount of trucks. We've been holding on to them for, you know, hopefully our local customers, and I can hold two of those slots, but of those slots, it's still first come, first serve to a build date. So waiting a month or two could, you know, instead of October delivery, it could make it a December delivery.
Mr. Lytle?
Mark and I was just asking Mark a couple questions, and first thing, Galen was looking at the last purchase was 198, or we were looking at them and they were 198.
When Galen and Phil talked, getting budgetary numbers when he was putting together the actual budget, I think you guys discussed it was just under 200K, 198-ish per truck.
So surely at some point they can get it
through LCL.
Yep.
And then month and a half ago, when you and I met, rough budgetary numbers that we got just from Aspen, we were up in the 240s, 260s.
Yep.
For budgetary numbers. We, you know, I know you kind of flew through it, so on and so forth. So I know cost of steel has gone up, but we're, you know.
Like Roger said, though, with state bidding, with our public bidding of things, would the board be opposed to approving, having Mark review this and approving the contracts on these pending a locked-in price or an approval of a locked-in price from RDO in 2 weeks to where it's an actual hard number, puts the risk on RDO? They may say no. They may say yes. I mean, we don't know what they'll say, but...
I think that's the closest thing you're going to, you know, and again, recognize at least they came up here and give you folks a bid. But that also gives us a chance to talk to some people and say, what's the rest of the world doing out here with this thing? But if he confirmed those up, then you got, I mean, it's no different than if you're pouring a slab or building a building down at the county barn.
They're adding that on their quote sheets now, too, that their prices are subject to change, because I just got estimates for an overhead door for the county shop, and they're 10 weeks out, and it states if there is a rise in charges, this estimate will rise in cost. So, I mean, it's everywhere. Everybody's covering their butts.
But on the big ticket items, which...
Correct. I mean, we're talking... Yeah. Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yeah, the other thing that Mark and I were talking about was that, okay, if we approve this, in order to get the price on the box, to get it firm, what if they construct the box, turn it over to us, we buy the box, or we pay for the box... And then it's sitting there ready to go when the truck shows up.
The deal to that is, if I remember correctly, Bebo is probably 9 months to a year out almost, aren't they?
They are quite a ways out. this box, I think Bebo will be willing to guarantee their price for whether we can catch a early mm-hmm. build or it's a November build.
I mean, even I think that's a good idea. Don was going to check to see if we physically have to have it. There's goofy rules with that, but we could have it sitting in our yard.
We have to have it here to pay for it. Whatever it is, it has to be delivered.
But I mean, that doesn't make any sense because it's not going to. It's got to go to the.
I understand, but that's
person what that's. Yeah, I don't think that's an option. I it doesn't make sense to me to buy it. Like I told you, I would take my guess that this materials are going to go do this and continue to do this. Maybe not near close to where they were, but they're not going to do this anymore.
The scary thing is, though, fuel goes up, concrete goes up. Fuel goes down, concrete goes up. I mean, it just depends on what suppliers want to do.
I would like to make a recommendation. There's enough controversy that I would like to turn the bid over to Mark and Becky to review it and come up with a recommendation in 2 weeks.
With that recommendation in 2 weeks, would you talk to Phil when you guys decide what you want, what you come up with? And Phil, would you talk to RDO, see if they would do the talking to the body manufacturers, the outfitters, if we could get a number that was a guaranteed number on there for us in 2 weeks also?
I'll see what I can do with that.
Just do it.
I think we should have a board member like Terry as part of that group also.
Reviewing the truck bodies?
100%.
I mean, yeah. Terry, if you talk to Mark.
The thing about it is, too, I know it makes no difference, but we're looking at two.
Yep.
Okay.
I can try to shore up with each bodybuilder, and it might be the case where one will, you know, put it on paper for us and one will not. But that's a discussion we can have over the next couple weeks and firm things up.
Hopefully if they have an order, I mean, municipalities are pretty solid. I would think that's probably going to help a little bit where if you say, hey, this is an order, they've got to do it for their budget.
Yep.
I mean, not for our budget, but I mean for the rules we have to work within. But, Mark, if you would talk with Terry on what you guys, when you review these, and then once you know, let Phil know, and then in 2 weeks we'll have it on the agenda to approve or disapprove that recommendation, and then we'll have that along with what RDO comes back with also.
Yep.
Hopefully they say yes.
There isn't like stages of percentages of completion on a truck that you could pay out.
We have received and not received. It'd be like a pay request on a road, but we physically have that portion of the road in place.
Well, I mean, like when the truck came, I mean, it could be parked in our lot for a day. We received the truck.
Where's this body, this upfitter?
So LCL's in Hastings, and Aspen is in Omaha. So both
are
neither
fairly far, though.
I mean, I can go scratch my initials into it and make it ours.
We've done it with other municipalities where they'll separate. It's probably too late now, but you can separate the truck and the body completely.
We're going to, Dawn just said she's going to check since these are odd circumstances to see if there's any leeway in the rules because that's the.
The only drawback to that is they don't ship one body at a time. There's going to be extra travel. I mean, they're coming usually three in a semi load that I remember.
Yep. Three to six.
Three to six, okay. Well,
Roger's
we're going
to
be
checking to see also if it's okay with the Attorney General if we would buy the body ahead of time, things like that, just to make it so that it's easier here. We've got odd circumstances, but, yeah. No, we appreciate you putting in a bid, Phil, and Mark will be in touch with you. We'll get this figured out.
Okay.
But, yeah, thank you for putting the bid in. Please let us have that back. Thank you.
Thank you.
We've got nothing else on the agenda. anything else for, we'll look for Mark's recommendation. If you talk to him, Terry, figure out what they come up with, let us know. Anything else for the good, bad, or otherwise of the order? Hey, Mr. Lytle.
Go ahead.
That was kind of a head fake there. I would ask for a motion to adjourn then.
So moved.
At 9:52. Uh-oh.
Second.
Okay, motion by Dorn, second by Haxby. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor with Lytle voting nay. Motion carries. We are adjourned at 9:52.
Becky?